Okay, sorry about that, guys. You hear me better now?
Yeah, now it's much better.
Yeah.
One thing I always do before I start is I always do a sound check.
Alright. Yes, Mr. Curran, you were saying, why do you trust the Bible?
Is that for me, or is that a question for me, or...
Yeah, it's a general question, but, you know, since you volunteer, we're going to have you go first.
Oh, okay, because, it's the way of life. You know, I truly believe in my heart that it's the true book.
Yeah. All right, that's good. Anybody else? Why can we trust the Bible?
Well, first of all, we have to understand that the Bible said it was inspired by God. So, for something to be inspired by God, that means that it must be true. No matter what, it's going to stand true to the end. So, you know, anything that's inspired by God personally, I'm going to trust that.
All right. I have a question. How do you know it's inspired by God? How do you know it's inspired by God? That's a brilliant question. Well, the Bible, first of all, gives prophecies. All right? There are a lot of things that the Bible predicts that will happen and did happen. Okay? For example, the Bible says, right, that in the last days before Christ comes, that the stars will fall from heaven. Okay? When we look back at history, we can see that the stars did fall from heaven as the Bible predicted. Among other things are the invention of the automobile, you know. That was one of the things that the prophet Nahum saw long before we had parkways and long before we had the LIE and all these things. The prophet Nahum saw that cars would be on these highways and these byways and they would be jostling each other. The invention of the automobile is another... fulfillment of God's word. So we, and there's a lot of other things that are happening and are going to happen that we can, you know, see. And that tells us that God's word, that the word is inspired by God. Because when what is said in the word comes through, it happens. Am I making sense? Is it clear to you?
The automobile part? Which verse would that be? Which?
Okay, you have the Bible. Let's go to Nahum. The book of Nahum. Alright. And guys, don't be afraid to ask questions, you know?
Okay.
Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Greed's good for that.
What are you saying, Mr. Solomon?
Nothing, I'm just kidding.
Nahum, chapter
what? Okay, we go to Nahum and let's go to chapter 3. And, very good. Chapter 3 verses, give me a second, guys. Alright, let's look at verses 2. Alright, it says, the noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of a wheel, of the prancing of horses and the jumping of chariots. Alright? The horseman lifted up his bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude slain and a great number of carcasses. There's something else that goes down here. You guys see me? It says that the chariots were jostle each other in the streets.
Reverse.
Chapter 3. Nahum chapter 3.
Yeah, reverse.
That's what I'm trying to, you know. Just read down and see if you find it.
see if I can find it real quick. What was the words of the verse again?
Okay. All right, let's look at verse 2. Let's look at verse 2, chapter 2, verse 3. Rather, verse 4. All right?
Okay.
It says in Nahum chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "The chariot shall rage in the street." Now, the word chariot there is used to describe a mode of transportation. You know,
okay.
Back in the days, the people used horses and stuff to get around, the chariot. And it says, "The chariot shall rage in the street. They shall jostle one another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like lightning." Now, the torches that it's talking about is the flaming light that we see when we drive in the parkway and somebody has their high beams on. And you're like, why does this person have their high beams on? That's the flaming torches, that seem like flaming torches. And it says, "They shall run like lightning." How many people in the room drive?
Pretty much all of them.
Sorry?
I do.
You do? Anybody else drive? Just the car, do you drive?
I do.
Okay. How fast do you drive?
Depends.
It depends on if you're late or not, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there we go. Some people drive really quickly. And when it says they shall run like lightning, that's what it's talking about, the speed in which these cars and these things, you know, go on the highways, on the broadways. And that is one of those things that we see being fulfilled. I was made to understand that the guy that made the Long Island Expressway, he wanted to make more lanes, but his offer was turned down by the government and all that.
Most people here aren't from Long Island, just so you know.
Sorry?
Most people here aren't from Long Island.
Oh, okay. Anyway, there's a highway in Long Island, New York, that was made by this individual, this guy, and he wanted to put more lanes on the highway. And so the government turned it down, and we can see that definitely God's word is authoritative. It can be trusted because there are things in here that are happening and will happen, and, you know, we can definitely trust it.
Another question. Do you know about the guy Nostradamus?
Nostradamus?
Yeah, do you know anything about him?
Not much. Would you like to tell me something about him?
Okay, he's the guy that predicted the World War I. He predicted airplanes.
Right.
This all came true, but it has nothing to do with God. So I understand the prophecies in the Bible. Proof that God is true, but I'm giving an example in this case. John, do you know anything about
this? Wait, you're fading out, King.
You know Nostradamus?
Yeah.
That predicted his own death, predicted the plane.
Yep, I heard a lot about him. Actually, I studied a little bit about him in high school. In fact, I'm not allowed to answer.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying, you do know who he is. His predictions did come true, and it wasn't really...
Not all of them. 75% of them came true, but not 100%. And actually, his teachings were in line with the Gnostic Bible.
What's that?
His teachings were in line with the Gnostic Bible.
His teachings were in line with the Gnostic Bible?
Yeah, basically, like, he's into Gnosticism a lot, and, a lot of his teachings and a lot of the prophecies that he has, those are all things that are in line with the Gnostic Bible.
Okay, so you're saying 75% of his things came true?
Yep, 75%, but then there were some things that were blatantly wrong. And a lot of his predictions and stuff were, like, pretty vague. So a person, there's a technical name for it, where a person gives an answer to prophecy, but it's so general that you can fit it into different things. For example, if I say, in the future, I foresee a cloud overshadowing a building, and there's a bright light. Now, that could be a lot of different things. You can predict that to be a UFO. You can predict that to be a rainstorm. You can predict that to be a lot of different things. It's not that specific.
Okay.
For example, in Nostradamus' books, you will not see the Twin Towers will fall on September 11th, 2001. You will not see, there will be a tsunami in Florida on whatsoever a date. But you will see generalizations. Whereas the Bible is different in that it gives you 100% accuracy, and in addition to that 100% accuracy, it gives you actual times and dates.
Okay, but nobody knows when the end of the world, when Jesus Christ's second coming is going to be, the exact day, time, and all the
stuff. No.
Right.
That is true.
So, this is my question. If all of us were to die before Jesus Christ comes back, and if this was not exactly the end of time, so then you wouldn't actually see the full prophecy come true because you would die before that would happen.
That is true.
I think the prophecies are being fulfilled. I understand what you're saying, but if these prophecies take, let's say, 100 years and you die before it all happens, because you don't know the exact date.
Wait, which prophecies? Are you talking about, like, Nostradamus prophecies, or are you talking about...
No, I'm talking about the prophecies of the second coming of Jesus Christ. If all of them were not to fulfill before you die, and you die before they fully fulfill, and Jesus Christ comes back, besides the prophecies, practically, what my question is, how do you know to trust the Bible besides the prophecies?
I'm sorry, what's the question again?
Okay, can I clarify it?
Yeah.
What she's saying is, there are prophecies about the second coming of Jesus and things that are gonna happen leading up to the second coming of Jesus. But obviously, if we were to die tomorrow, we wouldn't see the fulfillment of those prophecies. So she's saying, how do you know, aside from prophecy, that the Bible is true?
How would you know aside from prophecy that the Bible is true?
Sorry guys, I can't answer this one. I gotta be quiet.
I'm sorry, this is Karen. What was the question again?
Alright, basically what she's saying is, Sirius was saying that prophecy is one way in which we can predict the future. We can see things leading up to the second coming of Christ. But what Drew is saying is that, let's say, we know that there are going to be certain prophecies, the mark of the beast, and things like that that take place before the second coming of Christ. But if we die, like let's say tomorrow, we will not see the fulfillment of that prophecy. Because, you know, once we die, we won't get to see it, and then Jesus is going to come, and then obviously we'll be resurrected. But what she's saying is, how do you know if you're not seeing the fulfillment of those prophecies? Because, you know, for whatever reason, that the Bible is true, besides prophecy.
Well, actually, there's another part to actually being a Christian. There's a faith part. You have to have faith in Christ. You have to have faith. And that's why the reward is going to be so great, because you have to have faith in the Bible, what it tells us. You know what I'm saying? You have to have faith in the Lord. You have to believe and have faith.
All right. I'll go ahead.
That's another part of being a Christian. You have to have faith. Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. Just a lot of people have faith. We have to have faith in
God. That's true. Faith is definitely important. But have you guys ever spoken to any other Christian member? Like a Jehovah's Witness, for instance, they have a lot of faith. And, or Mormons, they have a lot of faith. But how do you know the Bible is true? And they have a lot of faith, because they do a lot of things that they consider to be what God would want it to be. And then they live a very, how would you say, a very different life from all the other people that consider themselves Christian. So, their faith is very strong, in my opinion,
considering the fact that these people, for a year, just go from door to door, trying to convince people to do certain things, or to study the Bible and to be with God, even though the God that they believe or comes both from the Bible and their Mormon book. So the faith, I understand, it's got to be strong, but a lot of people have very strong faith.
Mm-hmm.
And what they believe is still not true. They believe in the Bible, but they also have their own book. So how would you prove to someone like that the Bible is fully true?
Can we go back to the foundation real quick? Some very good points. But back to the foundation, we're talking about it's all inspired by the scriptures, was inspired by men of God. If you look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, and if you look at the verse very carefully, it says that prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God, save as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So I made this point, and the scriptures cannot be broken. So I'm making this point just to say that, okay, we talk about, Sister Karen just mentioned having faith and everything. When you go back to the Bible and you look at the whole foundation, the way it was inspired, the Holy Spirit is such a powerful being that it worked through men from back in time, and it connected different people in different times in history to make the Bible what it is. And if you go to, like, let's say Jerusalem right now, and you go back to the original scrolls, and you look at it, everything lines up perfectly. What one Bible person say here, it lines up with something else that was being said later on. So for it to be inspired by men of God, God stays true with it. And for the Christians to believe in the Bible, to trust the Bible, it has to be based on prophecy. It has to be based on inspired men that has carried the word from back then to what it is today. So I don't know if that makes sense, but I think we need to really look at the foundation of where the Bible comes from, and that in itself will help us to make sense of what the Bible is all about today.
Yes.
Also, you got to think about the people that were here back in Jesus' days, and there were many people that witnessed the miracles and the things that he did. They witnessed a lot of things. The things that are written in the Bible, these people actually saw it with their own eyes.
Right. Yes.
Right, right. So, in that capacity, faith is definitely key in believing the Word of God. I'm reading from now Hebrews 11. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained the good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So when we gotta have a certain amount of faith to believe that when we read a word or when we look around, and we read the word, you can see the fulfillment of the word in the world. You understand what I'm saying?
I think I'm going to just kind of clarify with more about what Dree was asking. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but she's saying, is there confirmation for our faith? Like, is there evidence of our faith, and what is that evidence? For example, we can say, okay, we know that at a certain time in the future, there's going to be a mark of the beast. But let's say we don't see that happening just yet. Okay, well, how do we know, based on what we do know and what we do have and what we do have going on right now, that there is confirmation in what we believe and that there's evidence of what we believe? Is that basically what you're saying?
Practically, yes.
Okay. So let's touch on that.
All right. Now, Let's look at science. Now, science, I was reading an article one time in a magazine, and it says, who is more powerful, science or God? That was the question in the magazine. And more we see that science is, like, carrying a lot of, you know, weight. It's sweeping the world in terms of inventions and advancements and stuff like that, all right? For example, researchers now, I was made to understand, are coming up with with the optimum time in which a man could rest or should rest. They are saying that the optimum time on which a man should rest is on the seventh day or after 6 days. All right? And they're not using the scripture to clarify that, but to say, well, the Bible says 6 days shall you do labor and rest on the Sabbath day. This is what the Bible calls. All right? So science itself right now is bringing out a lot of the things that the Bible is saying. And that's one of those things. True science. And, a lot of people that are, you know, that are trying to close the Bible and trying to figure out things are coming up more. When they open the Bible and you read it, then it's confirmed.
I can add to that. I have an article here. Actually, I'm just trying to find it real quick. But it talks about how science is just starting to catch up with things that the Bible has been teaching from day one. I had this article like a really long time ago. I hope I still have it somewhere. Basically, like, for example, in the book of Job, it talks about how God sits above the circle of the earth, which said that the earth was round. And we see that the people at that time, before Christopher Columbus, believed that the world was flat. So how is it possible that that the Bible, written so many years ago, predicts that the earth is round when nobody can, you know, get in a spaceship and go into outer space and see that the world was round, but yet they knew from the scripture that it was round. But the people of that time, the science of that time, was saying that the world was flat. Well, how is it that Moses knew that to get rid of germs, you had to run your hands through running water, when the science of his time in Egypt was saying that you use, what's the opposite of running water? What do you call that again? Oh man, I'm drawing a blank. You guys know what I'm talking about.
You're talking running water, you're talking just the stagnant water in the bucket.
Right, stagnant water, right. That's what they were teaching at the time, that that if the water was stagnant, then that was what you used to purify your germs. So how is it possible that the Bible has modern concepts that scientists are just now discovering, and the children of Israel knew them, but yet the rest of the world did not? So I think that's also a confirmation of faith there.
Right, right.
I'm actually looking for the rest of the article now, but seriously, do you have any other different types of things that confirm our faith in the Bible? Or Natalie, how about you?
Yeah, for example, when you look in the book of Job 26, verse 7, I think it says that he who hangeth earth upon nothing. And I think it was a scientific fact from Job, in the sense where it was talking about, was it Judas hanging from the tree, I think he was mentioning? I'm not quite sure of that verse. But I could give a better example. When we talk about, like, Cyrus the warrior chose to capture Babylon, that was also mentioned in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the four world empires, right, like Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, that was also mentioned in the Bible as well. So I think there are different scientific statements in the Bible that does support the Bible and the kind of, you know, adding credibility to the Bible as well.
And another thing too, when we read the Bible, we also need to pay attention to history, because remember, we were not the first men or the first women, and the Bible was written over a period of 1500 years. And when we look back at history, we can see that the things that the Bible spoke about that was written during that period happened, and things are still happening now. You understand? So in order for us to understand the Bible more clearly, we still need to have a clear understanding of history. We need to know our history.
That's
true. And history confirms a lot of what the Bible teaches or tells us.
Yeah, just to add to that, if you look at the world, you kind of notice how the continent of South America kind of fits right into Africa.
Yes, sir.
And other places around the world, they kind of seem like they just fit together a little bit. And they call that Pangaea, where it shows like a map of how all the continents can possibly fit together. And you ask yourself, well, if all these continents at one time were together like that, what on earth could have possibly broken them apart? Yeah. And if you examine the rocks, you'll see evidence of erosion and water having to do with breaking those continents apart, and even the continental shifts and the plates underneath the earth will show you that there's evidence for a flood.
Yes.
So
how are you studying that now?
And even if you look at the myths and legends of past civilizations, you'll see that oftentimes there's flood stories in their mythology, which shows that how can all these different nations, different civilizations across the world have all these flood legends? Why would that all be in common unless there was a flood?
Mm-hmm.
So there's scientific evidence to show that there was a flood, and also there's evidence in writings and historical documents.
So so basically, you know, the word is being confirmed. You know, if we look around at our lives, or if we look closely at our lives, we see the word is not confirmed even there. You know, and science has definitely played a very important role in confirming the Bible, because we see a lot of people who are committed to science, you know, they're turned into the scriptures now, because science is actually turned into the scriptures now.
That's
you know, it's not necessarily out there, like, plain, but it's turning. If you look at how the inventions and the things that researchers are coming up with, it's turning us right back to the scriptures, right back.
Is that a good answer for you, Dree?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is, but, I have a problem with the whole faith thing.
Sure, go for it.
Faith doesn't really have, the faith. When you talk about having faith and you read the scriptures and you bless for the Holy Spirit, which would lead you to know more, right?
Right.
Okay. So, if you have faith in God, for instance, like a lot of Christians do, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, like all these different little Christians, Christian unities, they all have faith in God, and it's not like they don't have faith in the same God that we're talking about. It's the same God, the same Bible, the same, you know, the same Savior. But yet, how come is it that their faith, is it that it's not strong enough, or what kind of faith is it that they're having that's supposedly different from Seventh-day Adventist Church has, where a Seventh-day Adventist Church can see what to follow, and all these other people just don't seem to see to...
Ooh, good question.
...the Sabbath.
Yeah.
I'm going to have more time to keep quiet on this one.
You guys understand what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
And they have faith. It's not like they don't have faith.
Can I answer that question real quick? And if I get it wrong, can somebody else please back me up?
Okay, honey, go ahead.
All right. Have you ever read the Bible and you read one verse of scripture and you get one interpretation, you're like, oh my God, you feel so overwhelmed by the fact that, you know, like, you read the scripture and you totally understood it, right? And then you read something else, another passage, and it says something completely different. And you combine one statement that you read before, and you combine it with the next sentence, and you got a totally different interpretation. But if you have read the entire scripture, and if you have read somewhere else in the Bible, because one thing you need to know about the Bible is that everything in the Bible lines up. Everything lines up. It's like a parallel. I don't know if that's a good example to use, but everything in the Bible lines up. But if you just pick and choose certain words right there, you don't get the wrong interpretation. And what I think a lot of churches have gone out and done is like they pick different scripture, and they got their interpretation, and they run with it. And before you know it, they come up with a doctrine, they come up with a church, and that's their organization. But if you look, I think our church is Seventh-day Adventist. We look at the entire Bible, we look at prophecy, we go through the entire Bible, and we line everything up. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, that's where we come up with the foundation, that's where we come up with the truth. When we look at the entire Bible, we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, because you cannot only study the New Testament without getting the foundation from the Old Testament. And some churches focus only on the New Testament, which
you cannot do has to be the entire Bible.
You're right. So, some churches do, but not all.
Right.
But that's true. That's true.
I understand, you know, reading one verse and then jumping to another verse. I understand that. But how could so many churches misinterpret the Ten Commandments?
Okay. Let me say something, right? Church history.
Oh, wow. That's a great question.
Now, for example, in the Baptist Church, right?
Okay.
The author of the Baptist Manual, in order for you to learn about the doctrines of learn about the church, you go to the church manual. That tells you everything about the church as it relates to the scripture, as it relates to the Ten Commandments. Okay?
Okay.
The author of the Baptist Manual, which his name was Dr. Hiscox said that, I heard you mention the Sabbath. Dr. Hiscox said that there is no way in the Bible, there is no scripture that tells us about the change of the Sabbath. Alright? And there can be no change of the Sabbath. This is what he said, and he was the author of the Baptist Manual. Now, it is not that other churches are not seeing these things, because I know people that are not Seventh-day Adventists that talk about the Sabbath. You know what I mean? And there's true studying and these things. They're coming to realize certain things. But it's just that some people, a lot of things have changed. People have changed things over the past years. You know what I mean? For example, with the Universal Church or the Roman Catholic Church, a lot of things were changed from the time when Jesus was here to even now. A lot of things have been changing constantly. And it's not that people are misinterpreting things, it's that people are just changing things to suit how, I guess, life is going or how they want to do it. Because the truth is out there, and people are reading and they're finding out about the truth.
I'm going to just read a couple of statements from Baptist. This is a published work from their church. There was and is a commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day, but that Sabbath